is our lives tend to be kind of messy. It's like days afterwards, and you're still finding shreds of wrapping paper under the couch, or a plate of cookies that never did get delivered to that neighbor, or, you know, something. It's like everything just kind of seems like it's all been chaotic over these last couple days, weeks. And we still have family here this weekend, and we're still traveling next week. So, like, we're still all in the middle of the chaos. We love to extend it, really. The more chaos, the better. But it can easily get to the point that you're like, boy, you know, if I just make it to this date, this is when the chaos ends, right? I set that date, and I go, man, if I make it to the second, man, and then all of a sudden I find myself going, boy, if we can just make it to the fourth. The fourth is, that's the date. And then it's like, no, we just got to make it to the sixth. Like, my day always continues to move out, so the chaos just kind of continues on. And I guess even as we travel back to see family, it's hours and hours of driving to go out in western Nebraska, out to the middle of nowhere. And as we go out there, it's like roads that we've traveled on for many, many times, and there's not a whole lot there. To be honest, I've lived there my whole life. Like, I can say that, right? There's not a lot out there. And so as you get going on the road, you get to this mode as you're on the interstate. It's autopilot without autopilot, right? You're driving and the miles are passing by. You're just in conversation, podcast, music, whatever you're doing on the road. And it's just, you're just kind of going. Like, you're attentive, but yet you're not. And all of a sudden, something clicks and you go, how are we... We're already here, like, I almost missed my exit kind of thing. Like, somehow the miles have passed by, and you've just made it much further than you had anticipated. Hopefully not too far that you get an additional adventure of backtracking and whatever else. But, you know, our years can seem very similar. Your years can go by like 2024. We're almost to wrap it up, and to look back, it seems impossible. Like, how did this whole calendar year just fly by? But I think if we're not careful, we kind of get to that same mode, that in the same way that my holiday trips just seem to, like, fly by, and I go, man, where did the trip go? My years can do the same. And so today, we want to take a little bit of time to kind of take a reminder to focus on God's mission, to not just allow time to fly by or just kind of aimlessly drive or wander, but, like, to really be focused on what is God's mission. And so we're kind of wrapping up this Joyful Expectations series that we've been looking at, this expectation of Jesus coming that we've enjoyed looking at as we look at Christmas time. But this tends to be the time of year that we look to set goals. This is when everybody's making New Year's resolutions to improve on, build upon something that you're currently doing. And so today we're going to kind of take this look into Luke chapter 2. It's a little bit different passage, but we're going to not necessarily walk directly through it, but we're going to take some time to let this, I guess, passage guide us in seeing how we can focus on God's mission over this next year. So before we dive into it, let's pray, and then we'll look at it here. God, we thank you for the love that you have for us, that you've given us your word, and that we can spend this time to learn and to grow and to see how we can become more focused on your mission. So we ask that you would open our ears to your word, and that we would live differently today and this year because of what we learned from your word. God, we love you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this moment that we're going to look at here in Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 40 and on there, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, we're all well acquainted with Jesus' birth story, and we know the story of his birth, and we anticipate reading that every year. This is like a small glimpse of, we go from Jesus' birth to all of a sudden he's magically 30 years old. That's always how it seems as you read through the account of Jesus. There's this small glimpse, though, at Jesus in the middle of that. And we don't really have a lot else to go on in between his birth to 30. But there's this time that we get to just take this glimpse at in Luke chapter 2 of Jesus in his adolescent years. And we're not going to necessarily walk through verse by verse to unpack each and everything out of this, because there are no other parallel versions of this in other gospels. This is the glimpse that we have. But I think there's some truths that we can take here out of this passage that that are going to lead us to some ways that we can refocus ourselves on God's mission, and we can look at other scriptures to support that as well. So we're going to read through here, Luke chapter 2, 40 to 52. It says, "And the child grew and became strong, and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents, Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast had ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, and they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to him and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and the favor with God and man." So as Jesus grew, he got older, realized that Jesus is fully God and also fully man, or teenager at this point. And so to see that he is still growing in wisdom and in stature, and even, I guess, as we look at him, he's still all about his father's work, that he's still in the temple wanting to learn. And so he was focused on God's mission. And one of those things that we can take for ourselves is trying to keep ourselves focused on God's mission, is to remind ourselves of some things that we can do this year to help us to do that. And the first one would be keep ourselves grounded with spiritual disciplines. I think we can get to this time of year where a lot of people are very aware of this time of year, that we make a lot of commitments to make changes, to live a life better this year. We make those New Year's resolutions to improve our lives. And so many times it comes back to discipline. It comes back to something that we have to stick to not give up. In just a few days after the New Year's, I just heard, I think it was on the radio, that the second Friday of the New Year is called Quitter's Friday. I didn't know that was a holiday. Like, I'll start celebrating a bit better. But apparently, you just got to make it to that second Friday, and then you can quit all those resolutions that you've made. But hopefully, like, what we're talking about this morning is habits that we're going to continue on, not just even into the year, but for the rest of our lives. That these spiritual disciplines that we hope to add to our lives helps us focus on God's mission. And I look at the way that Mary and Joseph even helped lead by example for Jesus. Because it says that in verses 41 and 42, it says that Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. So Joseph and Mary took this time every year to journey to Jerusalem for this feast of the Passover. Now this would have been like a 3-day trip there, a day of the actual feast, and the whole celebration takes about a week, and then a 3-day trip back. And customs would have encouraged all to come, but Joseph would have been for sure needing to go, and Jesus, being a young man, would have needed to start when he was 13 going to this, but it sure seems like they went together. That they made this a custom of their own to go together and to make this something that they wanted to be regular at. And so this feast of Passover that they would be going for was to remember, as Moses was pleading with Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery, that he would have been asking them to let my people go. The final plague of the 10 plagues that was there to encourage Pharaoh to let them go was the firstborn child's life. But it was spared because of the blood of an innocent lamb that was put around the doorpost, and that would actually pass by and keep them, that was the Passover, pass over them and keep them safe. And so it's interesting that Jesus would be going to celebrate this feast as he would become the Passover lamb. And so for us, what does this all mean about feasts and traveling and all of that? I'm not saying that you need to take a yearly trip to Jerusalem. If you'd like to, let me know. I'd love to tag along. But there are spiritual disciplines that we can instill in our lives that would help us be focused on God's mission. First of all, I would encourage you this year to make a commitment to reading God's Word daily. That somehow you sign up for a reading plan through the Bible app or something, that you make it a discipline that you stick to daily, reading God's Word. Let God's Word influence your life and allow God to know your heart through His Word. I'd also encourage you to spend time in prayer, in communication with God, and not just pouring out a wish list of, God, this is what I need from you, but also like actually giving space to God, like a two-way conversation with God, that you actually praise God for who He is and all that He's done, but you recognize who He is, His will for your life through His Word and through prayer, but also giving God space to speak back into your life. I'd also encourage you to get involved in church if you're here. Way to go. You're off to a great start even before the new year. But like being like truly involved and engaged in conversation with people, getting connected with others. There's so many things that we can do to have spiritual disciplines. But don't feel overwhelmed thinking, man, I need to improve in all of them, because that's where I can be like, man, I need to be so much better at all of them. I want to encourage you just to pick one. Pick one that feels like, man, this is probably the one that's most needed. And just feel like, just jump in and get started with that one. Because the secret is that we all have something to work on. That we all have something that we can improve on. None of us are perfect. And if you think you are, then pride is top of the list for this year. We can work on these things and try our very hardest. But I think it's the next part that we're going to be moving into is that we need Christian community. Is that we need others around us that help to influence us and to keep us on track and focused on God's mission, to not just fall away or be distracted and forget what we're doing. So we need others, this Christian community. And as Mary and Joseph are taking this trip for the Feast of the Passover, they traveled in this group, this Christian community that they would have had around them. Believers that took this journey as well, to be committed to being disciplined in their beliefs. Because when you do hard things, when you try something, like when you try to become better, it's always easier with somebody else by your side. Twice now, I have actually signed up for the tour to Nebraska. I'm not in riding shape right now, so don't judge me. But it's a five-day bike ride that ends up being like 300 miles. And it's an awesome thing. I had this idea because I needed something as a motivation for myself to like continue bike riding. And so I signed up for this ride thinking, it's kind of like, you know, you can put the motivation of something good in front of you. It's the carrot dangling in front of you. But you can also put a flame behind you as motivation to, like, get moving before you get burnt. And I knew if I did not ride daily, I was going to be in really big trouble because I paid money for this ride. And I was going to ride it. And I wanted to survive it. And so I started training. I rode for months and trained. I put miles on. And the first year I did this, I did all of my training completely alone. Like, completely alone. I didn't do a single ride with somebody else. So on the cold days, the windy days, the hot days, the days with huge hills, I was out there doing all of that by myself. And I had a lot of days I really wondered, why did I sign up for this? This is such a waste of my time and money. But every day that I rode, I logged my miles in my phone and in an app, because I didn't sign up by myself. I signed up with my dad. And so on the other end of the state is my dad, hundreds of miles away, and he would get a notification pop up on his phone that would say how slowly I rode that day. But I would get a notification saying how many miles he would ride, and I go, ugh, I gotta go ride today. And I'd always have to do like a couple extra miles or something, like just, you know, a little bit more. But man, having him do such a simple thing of post on an app, the miles that he rode was all the motivation I needed to go, today I get out and I ride. I don't let it go by another day because I know that he's already done it. And it's this idea of having others with us, that nothing compares to riding together. Because when we got together the day of this event, and we actually got to ride together, man, miles passed by so fast and so easy because we got to ride side by side together, having conversation. Or when it got hard, man, you get behind each other and help lead for a while, and then you switch back and forth, and it's community together. And it's a beautiful thing when we get to experience it, because it's better together. Like, even on the days that I would be so sore and tired, I knew that the next day I got to get up and ride with my dad again. And it made it worth it every day of this ride. And it was like such a good motivation for me, all because I had somebody to do it with. And so in our walk in spiritual maturity, we can do a lot on our own, and it's really good to be disciplined on our own, but it's so good and fruitful, and we grow exponentially when we do this together. The early church in Acts understood how essential it was for them to live together in community, that they learned alongside what they sought after God. They knew that they needed each other together. And man, this passage from Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, may be one of the most beautiful pictures of what this Christian community is meant to be. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Man, they were devoted to God's word, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, praising God, fellowship. Sounds a lot like what we do on a Sunday morning together, that we gather together to do those things here at Journey. But it's more than just attending a service. They were living life together. They knew the needs of each other. They knew that when somebody was having a hard stretch and just needed something, that they would actually go ahead and sell their own possessions to provide for that need. It's a beautiful example of what this community is meant to look like. But it also requires that we have to be willing to be transparent enough to live in community, to open up about our own lives, to share with others our victories so that they can celebrate with us. But it also means that we have to be able to share our own hardships so that we don't mourn alone. We might have to humble ourselves and actually allow others to know us in a far more personal way when we are transparent with each other. This community can help you and to be by your side daily, even in the way that you're learning from God's word. Jesus was found in the temple learning and listening, asking questions and even giving answers. But just coming on a Sunday morning and accumulating all this knowledge, like, it's good, but sometimes we wonder, what does this mean? Like, what does this mean for my life? How do I apply these truths? And sometimes you need an outside voice, just somebody to ask questions and to bounce things off of, to help you absorb these truths better. And I think our community can be one of those things that helps you to learn. It can help teach you, even sometimes just by asking some hard questions that you may not want to ask or even answer, but in the best way. Those questions can be asked to help your life be transformed by God's word. They can allow you to wrestle through questions to help you to grow and mature. And when others see that growth in you, hopefully it's a similar response to what they found Jesus in the temple, and they said they were astonished, not because of the mass amounts of knowledge, but the spiritual maturity. And hopefully as we mature, people can see it within us, that this discipline that we've had, to be regular with these spiritual disciplines, our maturity will be growing as well. But allowing yourself to wrestle through some hard questions all the while in Christian community is a good thing. So if you're looking for that type of community, you can find it obviously here at Journey. We would love to be able to find a life group or a Bible study or a discipleship group for you to jump into, and you can find out more about those by scanning the QR codes. It's a shameless plug. You can scan the QR codes that are in your seat pockets there, and there's quick ways to be able to find out more about those groups. But it's a very practical way to find that Christian community that can be by your side to help push you to live out this Christ-following life. The next truth that we see in this Luke 2 passage is that Jesus grew in favor with God and man. And so, like, he didn't just keep this wisdom. This wisdom was shared with others. And so there was a way that Jesus remained focused on God's mission, but I notice that this is kind of framed in, this whole passage that we read is framed in with verse 40 and 52. And that verse 40 says, as Jesus, this child, he grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then in 52, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in the favor with God and man. There is growth and wisdom that comes with our spiritual disciplines, and it grows exponentially when we do that in Christian community. But there's an expectation that we don't just start our own Christian commune. We're just going to find this real nice, quiet place that we're all going to go move to and, you know, make our own place, that we kind of live a sheltered life, that we just live on our own. But that we go off into the world, because it says that Jesus even gained favor with man. At this point, Jesus in his life is still at home with Mary and Joseph, learning the trades of becoming a carpenter, living in community. People would have begun to know him before he even officially starts his ministry as he turns around 30 years old. And for us, as we live our lives outside the walls of Journey, our community gets to know us. And as they get to watch us live out our lives and see what our character is like, when they find out that you are a Christ follower, are they shocked because it seems like a contradiction? Or they go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, I probably already figured that out. It's no surprise at all because you're living it out not just within this building, but you go out and live it, living on mission even before man. Because if we're to remain on mission, we have to live that way so that the world around us would understand who God is. That our whole life is shaped by God's word so that we go out and live for him. We share it, and rightfully so, because when you find something good, you want to share it with others. And we're actually commanded to go share it with others in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. It tells us to go, therefore, and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This great commission is the final words of Jesus that he would share before he ascends into heaven, but he goes and tells us to make disciples of all nations. But I would suggest start where you are. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth right away, but it does extend to the ends of the earth. We use the definition of a disciple here from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, that says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And we would say that a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and living on mission for Jesus. And so when we are called to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to live out all that you've been taught, you can only lead someone as far as you've been taught. And that's why those spiritual disciplines we talked about daily being in God's word, is so important. Because if we're to lead others, we have to have led ourselves. We have to allow God to lead us through his word. Because we want others to come to the same knowledge. And so this is a critical mission. That we aren't just to come in here to the church. And sometimes we think that the only outreach is if people call the phone. So if we have you man the phone here at church to answer all the questions of how they might become a Christian. No, we're called to go. to the outside world, to go to those that are in need. And I think when we all do that really, really well, when we live on mission in our community, we should see that Wayne and Wayne County in Northeast Nebraska all becomes drastically different because we are all being sent out. From today on, that we go and we live our lives filled with spiritual disciplines, living in Christian community, unleashed to go and spread God's word all around us, everything should look different. At work and at school, even at home, in your family, that things begin to look different because you look at the way that Jesus was focused on God's mission and you're dedicated to do the same. So for spiritual disciplines, let me ask a question. What's the mission that God's calling you to live on this year? Maybe it is the spiritual disciplines about being daily in God's word or to spend time in prayer. Don't be overwhelmed to think that you have to do so much that you've got to read 20 chapters a day and spend 5 hours in prayer. But like, just start somewhere. Like if it's going to be in reading your Bible, just spend it, even if it's a chapter, even less. Learn something about God and how it applies to your life. If it's going to be spending time in prayer, spend time in conversation with God. Allow him to know your life. But also listen to him in ways he might lead you. If it's in Christian community, maybe you need to be better connected with others, to learn and grow alongside of others. Maybe you've been kind of living your life as kind of a lone ranger type of person, but you're finding that you're missing a piece of it, that you're wanting others to be with you. Join a life group. Join a Bible study, a discipleship group, something. Find some way that you can get plugged in with some Christian community. Let me also challenge you to share the wisdom that you're finding. That whether it's through disciplines or the time shared in Christian community, that you're sharing that wisdom of who God is and all that he's done. So that if you could think of a coworker, a classmate, a friend, a family member that you can reach out to and begin to share what God is doing in your life, share that with them as well, because maybe their lives can be different because of that same sacrifice that Jesus made for you. So this year, let me encourage you that 2025 can be a priority. That spiritual discipline should be a priority. That as you live on mission for God, that you're doing it on a daily basis. Like, make this year count. Don't let this year pass you by and realize that the whole year passed by not even knowing how did we get here so fast. Take control of this year and live on mission for God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you desire this relationship with us. But God, would you help us to be focused in, that we would live on mission for you. Help us to be disciplined in the ways that we need to find others that would encourage us. Help us to be brave in having those conversations, to ask people to share that space with us, to be bold in asking questions and even giving answers. God, help us to be bold in the ways that we share that with our community around us, knowing that they need to know all about who you are and what you've done. So God, would you give us boldness and focus as we try to live on mission for you this year. God, we love you so much, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us?